Charm of Favor, Chapter 5.
"Why would anyone want to be ruler of the world?" asked Atium with his thick Russian accent. "You say that like men haven't been trying to do just that since the earth cooled," said Edward from behind his large screen laptop that rested on a TV table in front of an oversized emerald green chair. It wasn't uncommon for internet business to operate from apartments in Almaty, and this one was large by local standards. "No, I am serious as heart attack. People are such babies, and they need their asses wiped every day. You know of what I am speaking," said Atium, not sounding like a question. "Here's the thing, Atium. People should be free to be whiners if they want to be. Nobody said liberty wasn't messy. It's very messy. We have the right to be idiots," said Edward. "This I know. But when a smart man works hard, he can rise up to here," said Atium, holding his hand out flat just above his head. "Then he becomes rich, and then he becomes powerful, because he profits from the work of others, and then he wants control. This I don't understand," he said, dropping his arm in frustration and slapping his black Levi's on the thigh. "If you're referring to the tyrant life cycle, your history has some great examples." "Stalin had," began Edward. "Now, you see, there you go, attacking Stalin again." "This is what I am saying about you Americans," interrupted Atium. "Stalin had," began Edward again in his slow and analytical voice, "become the Secretary General for the Central Committee of the Communist Party in 1922. This allowed him to appoint his allies to government jobs and grow a base of political support. That's the same thing the political insiders have done in America since before the World War." "You are saying that America is like Soviet Union?" said Atium, as a matter of fact. "Well, there is a difference. In America, there is no one man that is in charge. There's no Stalin turning the nation from a bunch of regional farmers into an industrial superpower. Eisenhower made speeches about the secret complex crafted from industrial and military forces, but he didn't send anyone off to labor camps or shoot anyone in the head when his term was finished," said Edward. "Maybe not. But I think we could name a few, yes?" asked Atium. "See, here's the thing. America is not really a country. It's an idea. It's about having a dream, working hard, and seeing that dream become a reality, molded by your own hands. Well, at least that's what it was," said Edward, looking back at his laptop screen for a moment. "Stalin means man of steel. You know this, yes? He told people what to do. And if they did not do it, he sent them to the camps or into a ditch. Before long, there was only obedience. This is not like America. I know this. In America, there is no man of steel," said Atium. "The way the government is set up, there's no place for a man of steel. It is specifically designed to prevent a man of steel from having that much power," said Edward. "Maybe so. But your government controls the media, just like Stalin. It protects the corporate political donors from competition by small or new businesses, just like Stalin. It controls all education, and will soon have control of all healthcare. And then it will be worse than the Man of Steel," said Atium, progressively raising his voice. "You left out one thing. They have access to everyone's information. Information is the ultimate power over people," said Edward. "You should know this better than anyone," said Atium, pointing to the laptop in front of Edward. "Well, there is this one difference between then and now. There is one thing standing in between this government man of steel and the control they seem to crave," said Edward, as he typed a few words into his darknet connection. "And what might that be?" asked Atium, like he was waiting for a magic trick to work. "The armed American," said Edward. "Now you are talking about something we Russians know about." "You mean revolution," said Atium. "Actually, just the opposite. You say you know revolution so well. Get this. Those who start a revolution are never the ones who finish it. Revolutions create vacuums, and vacuums are filled by opportunists, and opportunists are everywhere, said Edward. You mean like China or something? Said Atium, already lost in the complexity of the scenario just described. Not really. The same players have been at this for hundreds of years, since ancient Rome, maybe before that. Anyway, they set up insurgent groups inside our society, said Edward. I am not understanding this very much. Every email, every text, every phone conversation, and every bank transaction is collected and analyzed already. You know this. How is it possible that this can happen when so much is known by your NSA? Asked Atium as he walked over to look out the 8th floor window onto the narrow streets of Almaty below. Oh, they think they know everything about it. They're trying right this minute to see if they should consider people under the age of 24 who buy black running shoes domestic terrorists. Why do you think I exposed them? I could not stand by and let people continue to believe in their government, thinking they were supporting their country. Do you know what that feels like? When you discover the government you work for is actually another country all by itself? Asked Edward, folding his arms and falling back into the large green chair. So, why ruin a good thing? I mean, why would they slaughter the goat that provides the milk for their children? Asked Atium. See, the thing is that your goat does not have a 9mm. Your goat does not go to the gun range a few times a year and practice shooting human silhouettes because he suspects you are about to slaughter him. The government wants to take out the goat army, said Edward, unfolding his arms and scooting up to his laptop again. There is a goat army? What goat army? Asked Atium. Oh, there are goats, and pigs, and cows, and chickens, too. And they don't trust each other, either, said Edward. You mean like Animal Farm? I'm lost again. You Americans are losing your minds, said Atium. Look, the cops are like this blue army. They work for the government to collect taxes and fines from the people. When the people resist, they not only like it, they thrive on it. And there are a growing number of people who don't like the fact that the cops are so violent all the time, began Edward. I thought you like law and order, interrupted Atium. Yeah, well, you see, laws are there for everyone. We call it equal protection. But certain people don't have to obey those laws like everybody else. They get to do whatever they want, and nothing ever happens to them. The people see that too, and it is really beginning to piss them off, said Edward. You think we don't have the same thing in Kazakhstan? In Russia, it is the same, said Atium. Not the same. In those countries, you don't have an armed populace, and you don't have a 400-year history of liberty and freedom. And it's not just the cops. There are other armies, like I said, operating inside America, and they are just waiting for orders, said Edward, now raising the pitch in his normally very cool and smooth voice. You're talking about Antifa and Black Lives Matter and groups like that. But that takes money. People don't fight for nothing. Mercenaries get paid, said Atium. That's another thing. George Soros in Iran and Saudi Arabia send millions of dollars a week to these groups inside America. Think of it like 100 dirty bombs hidden all over America, just waiting on someone to push the button, said Edward. You are making my head hurt, Edward. Besides, a dirty bomb is not good for anyone. It makes the whole place a mess for a long time, said Atium. They're not meant to be really efficient at destroying things. They're meant to make people afraid. That's why they call it terrorism, said Edward. We know about these things as well. We just make the terrorists afraid to make people afraid, said Atium. Well, I kind of like due process, Atium. It doesn't work so fast, or maybe deliver justice too well sometimes, but it protects our right to do things like face your accuser, and prevent illegal searches and seizures, said Edward. You talk to me about Constitution, and yet your NSA looks up the skirt any time it likes, said Atium. True enough. I'm just saying that America is like a giant game board right now, and there are trained and equipped players in just about every major city just waiting for the cards to hit the green velvet, said Edward, sliding his right hand out in front of him. Now, everyone struggles to place their bets, yes? Asked Atium. No, the real struggle right now is to see who gets to be the dealer, said Edward. The house always wins. This is what they say. Why the delay? I mean, why don't they piss or get off the pot? Said Atium. My guess is it's because all the players are armed and dangerous, said Edward. I thought you Americans liked cowboys, said Atium. Well, we love cowboys. We just expect the sheriff to be the good guy, not the biggest thug in the room, said Edward. But the sheriff is elected in your country. I'm lost again, said Atium. See, here's the thing. The people only get to vote for or against the candidates on the ballot. And the ballot is controlled by basically two private corporations. These two corporations only allow one type of candidate to get on the ballot, said Edward, holding up his index finger. But this is for the most powerful man in the world. They want strong person in this job, yes? Asked Atium. Oh, this is where it gets really crazy. The right candidate has to have a certain appearance. No bald president, no fat president, no ugly president. Not really ugly. They don't even like presidents with glasses, said Edward. This is all bullshit, Edward. None of these things have anything to do with being a good president, said Atium. Yeah, no shit. The one thing they must have is the ability to read a teleprompter and to remember that they are not in charge, said Edward. Hell, you say. He is in charge of everything and everyone, said Atium. That's what everyone thinks. In fact, that is what they want you to think. The truth is that the corporation is syndicated with dozens of other corporations, and they make up a single mind with one ultimate goal, said Edward. Let me guess. To control the world, said Atium flatly. Almost. They want to control the souls of the world. I guess a better way to say it is that they want to capture all the souls of the world at once, without having a huge war, said Edward. What do you consider small war? Asked Atium. Pocket rebellions. A city here, a city there, dragging some rich white people into the streets and beating them to death, just enough for the news media to turn into a crisis. I would say anything less than a few months to bury the dead, especially if the dead are the old, the sick, and the very poor, said Edward. I guess I understand. You see, Stalin was not such a bad guy after all, said Atium. There's a big difference, my friend, said Edward. How so? Asked Atium. Stalin stood in front of his army and ruled his world. These elitists are the ultimate cowards. They rule the world from closets and banks. They believe the meek shall inherit only 6 feet of the earth, and they are entitled to the rest, with enough workers to supply them with the comforts of heaven itself, said Edward. I think maybe they are not so afraid of the red carpet now, said Atium. I left my office and my family in Hawaii to make sure Americans knew what was being done to them, to us. I thought the truth would set them free, said Edward, wanting to crawl back inside his cyber world where he could not feel anymore. I'm thinking maybe Americans want to go back to sleep, said Atium, turning his face back to the window. Americans are mad as hell, my friend, and the elitists are so afraid their little fake terror game is going to be taken away from them. They're gearing up for a fight, said Edward, gritting his teeth. I'm not seeing it. Your young people live in their smartphones. The boys are afraid of the girls. They send a picture to a girl, and she maybe sends one back. They hide behind masks and break windows at the university with a stick. They're not ready for real life. Stalin stood in front of his army, and eventually the Soviet Union lost. Your cowardly generals have everything in their favor. I think Your war is already over, said Atium. A war is only over when your enemy says it is. Maybe the pillow fighters out there aren't ready for this fight, but information is my job, and based on what I see, there are at least 100 million trained adults out there who are ready, willing, and able to take back their country, said Edward, moving his thumb skillfully over the touchpad on his laptop to change sights. Like I said, I am thinking that this will be pay-for-view war. Over in the first round, said Atium, punching his right fist softly into his other palm. That's what they thought about the first war. It took a commercial break, and the fight resumed, said Edward. Until the weapons became so powerful that no one could face the consequences of a conflict. What did Mr. Churchill say about World War IV? Fought with sticks? Asked Atium. Maybe he was wrong. Maybe this war will be fought with ones and zeros at first, and then it will erupt all around them all at once. There won't be any battlefront. The entire country will vomit all at once, and the sickness will be flushed down the toilet, said Edward, scrolling down the screen. Remember what you said about revolutions, about starters and finishers, Atium, tapping the glass window with his index finger distantly. The difference is, my friend, that we have an enduring constitution that says our rights come from God and not from men. We are empowered by that document to rise up and overthrow our leadership when it becomes tyrannical. But the rule of law shall endure, and things will settle back down, and the bad guys will be stripped of their power and glory, said Edward. Well, just to make sure it is rule of law and not rule by law, said Atium. Well said, my friend. Well said, said Edward, closing the screen on his laptop, feeling much better.